came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study this morning. Guide and direct us as we look at this portion of your precious word. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you to guide and to teach us. Help me as I bring the lesson, Lord. Please use me as your instrument this morning, despite my own faults and failures, my own weaknesses. If you have the Sunday school classes downstairs, the teens, with Aaron as he teaches them, and be with Shelley and Donna, and Amy, as they do their classes, be with the students. Open their hearts, Lord, to the Word of God and to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. But thank you again for this day and each and every day that you give us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the cross and for the precious blood that was shed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So this parable, I've called it the parable of the heart. So some things as we kind of get into this here, you'll notice that, well, look on your handout, it's the first paragraph I wrote for you here. You'll notice that the scribes and the Pharisees traveled to the land of Gennesaret to seek out Jesus, indicating the seriousness of their purpose. I mean, they were coming to deal with Jesus, as we've seen in many instances as we've studied these parables. They didn't like what he was doing. They didn't like his message. They didn't like how he was challenging their authority. And once again, Jesus would expose their hypocrisy while instructing all who would listen to be careful of tradition. And not all tradition is necessarily bad, but in this case, we're going to see that tradition is trumping the Word of God. And then whenever I think of that, it always reminds me of, there was a man many years ago, his name was Brian Walter, who was called out of our church and ended up on the mission field. But he pastored a church, after Bible college, he pastored a church in Pennsylvania. And when he interviewed for that church there, I think it was in a community in the church, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of Welsh background in that church. And there was some kind of Welsh traditions that they kind of did. And so they asked him about that. They said, "Well, you know, is this a problem with you?" And I thought his response was good. And he said, "It's not a problem with me as long as it doesn't conflict with the Word of God. And I think it was just kind of mild things. It was just things that they did from their past. There was probably, undoubtedly, generations of families in that church, but it was nothing that was contrary to Bible doctrine or Bible practice. And he never, after that, never talked to me about any problems that they had with it. But anyhow, there are things that we do. We'll talk about this too. There are things that we do that we kind of do as tradition, but when that tradition becomes paramount to the things of God, then it's not a good thing. And it was really what was happening here, and we'll see that as we get into this. So to many of the Jewish people at this particular time, and then all, really down all through history, we could think of things that their traditions more important than the Word of God. For the Jews, what had happened over years and centuries, the oral law had been handed down and the oral law had been written, and it ended up in the writings that are called the Mishnah. And this then had become the foundation for their faith, not so much the Word of God. And that's what we're dealing with here. Also, I'm always reminded of my wife witnessing to one of her friends who is very involved in a religion that is based on tradition. And she said to her friend, she said, just read the Bible and you'll see that this is not in the Bible. And she turned to Shelley and she said, Shelley, the Bible is just a very small part of our faith. But to you and I, the Bible is our faith. Amen? I mean, it's the Word of God. That's where we look to. But there are probably people that you're working with, people in our neighborhoods, people all around us, who have the same mentality as Shelley's friend. Oh, yeah, the Bible, it's just a small part of our faith. And that's an issue that Jesus is dealing with here, and we're going to learn some things from it as well. And you notice this too, we've noticed this a lot, especially with the parables, that Jesus answers their question with a question. So in this instance, in verse 2, look, the Pharisees say, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Well, here's Jesus' answer in verse 3. Well, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? Kind of flips it around, and he turns it right back on them. Notice this on your handout, Mark chapter 7, verses 8 through 13. This is kind of a parallel scripture here. Jesus says, and he's rebuking them in Mark chapter 7, where he says, for the laying aside, you're laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That was the, let me just stop there. So if we went back to the book of Exodus, if you disrespected your parents, under the Old Testament law, you could be put to death. And so he goes on, Jesus, and says, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught of his father or his mother. And then Jesus said, making the word of God none effect, that should say, through your tradition, which ye have delivered. It's the same thing what's happening here. So he says, they're worried about why are the disciples not washing their hands? Now, washing the hands was part of a ceremonial part of the law. And it's probably a good idea to wash your hands before you eat. One of the rabbis equated washing your hands. If you did not wash your hands, in their minds, it was the same as if it was just as grievous if you were guilty of adultery. One writer said this, if this is the only thing that they could come up with against the disciples, the fact that they didn't wash their hands, it speaks very highly of the disciples. I mean, come on, wash your, you didn't, why are they not washing their hands? But as we read in this, in Mark, they washed the cups, they washed the bowls. It was all part of the Old Testament law. And Jesus is going to teach them some things here. Now, look what he says, does Jesus in verse 4, when he, in verse 3, he asks them that question. Well, why do you transgress the commandment of God? And here's the point that he brings up. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die. So Jesus here quotes the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. But this part here, verse 5, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, or we saw in Mark the word Corban, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Anybody know what's going on here? What this is about? Anybody have any idea? So you understand what they're saying here is the, Jesus is saying, you scribes and you Pharisees, you tell the people that if they give a gift, then they're okay. If they give a gift to the temple, or they give a gift to the priests, then you're all right. Anybody understand what they're what the point of all this is? Yes.
I'm not sure. Is it, so in honoring your parents, you should be taking care of them. But if they're not taking care of them, they say, "Oh, I gave that as tithes. Then I gave it to God, so I don't have to take care of it."
Right. They came up with a tradition that relieved you of your financial responsibilities to your parents. And the deal was, as long as you gave it to the priest or to the temple, and you said it was a gift to God, then you were no longer obligated to meet the financial response. And to honoring your father and your mother meant taking care of them in their old age. And so people would do this. And they said, "Oh, well, we don't need to be responsible for our parents. You know, we can take this this is a gift that we're giving." And so they were kind of freed from that. Not kind of, they were freed from that. So Jesus is saying, you've come up with this tradition, but this tradition that you have, it conflicts with the Bible. It conflicts with the Word of God. This is wrong. It's wrong. Now, you and I today, now, we could go all down through history and you know, we should be careful with regards to traditions that we might have. When I was in Belarus on a missions trip with Ethan, there was a couple of guys that we were the second of six groups that went in at 2 weeks to hand out and distribute Bibles. We were told the story of the guys. There was a group before us that went in, and two or three of them left because they raised the issue after they were there that everyone that should be doing this, handing out John and Romans, should be wearing a white, every man should be wearing a white shirt and a tie. And that it was just wrong. Some people weren't even wearing ties when they were handing out scriptures. I wasn't wearing a tie. It was hot there. But they were so wrapped up in what they, apparently the church that they were out of was so wrapped up in, when you go to church, you need to wear a white shirt and a tie, that they left. And how many John and Romans could have they handed out? Because of a white shirt and a tie. I mentioned this, I hope I didn't mention it last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but you know, the older that you get, the more you repeat yourself. But when I was in Haiti, the Haitians, in the Dominican, we were staying with our missionary there, and in the city where he's at, there's a lot of Haitians that live in the Dominican. But he had in his church two services, the Haitian service and the Dominican service. When the Haitians came to church, they loved to dress up. When the Dominicans came to church, I wouldn't say they loved to dress down, but they didn't dress up. They just came very casually. So who was right? The Dominicans or the Haitians? The ones that came to church. Good answer, actually. They were, no one was right and no one was, you know what that is? That's a cultural thing. Even when we traveled into Haiti and we went to church in Haiti, all the Haitians, they loved to dress up, at least the churches that we were in, they just loved to dress up for church. And the Dominicans don't. They're more laid back. So no one's right there, no one's wrong. Charlie gave the best answer. I didn't even think of that. That's pretty good. The ones that came to church, they're the ones that were right. So little things can, you know, can even creep into our lives, you know, if we're not careful. You know, if you're raised in a more traditional setting, and listen, I'll just be honest. You know, whoever you're raised by, whoever knee that you sit on, figuratively speaking, there's things that you're taught, and you just think this is the way that it is. And do you want to do things right? You want to do things. You want to honor the Lord. And if you've been raised, like there, 20 years ago, there was a huge fight, maybe 25 years ago, going on with regards to traditional music and contemporary music. And the traditionalists, everything about contemporary music was wrong. And there was a battle that took place. I look back on it now and I think that was kind of silly. But that's just kind of examples how tradition, some traditional music, I love to still sing hymns, but some of the contemporary music that we sing, I like to sing contemporary music too. So there's a balance that's there. But you see, these things can actually, they divide people. And when you start to think about everything that's happening in the world and all the problems people have and the sin in the world, these things are, they pale. They're not even on the same scale. So even, you know, we look back and we think, wow, they were giving them a hard time because they didn't wash their hands. But listen, we too can allow things to creep into our lives that can become divisive. And to be careful, we need to be careful with regards. Listen, I am old enough to remember that when I was a little boy, women stopped wearing hats to church. It was everybody wore a hat to church when I was growing up. And in the early 1960s, that became kind of I remember it was dinner talk at the table. Like, oh, you see so-and-so? They didn't have a hat on today. I mean, it's a big deal. I don't see too many hats out there today. And if somebody wants to wear a hat to church, great. But if somebody doesn't want to wear a hat to church, good. Somebody wants to wear a tie to church, I like wearing a tie to church. Great. My son Aaron, he doesn't like wearing a tie to church. Apparently you don't either.
Hey, I mix it up.
I'm just... Or Shelley was having this conversation with another friend this week. I think it was their daughter, maybe it was their son, maybe I got them flipped, but they began to date, it was either, let's just say it was the daughter was dating a young man. And, well, they were going to a church that was a little different than theirs. And when they went off, I think they had gone to college. And it wasn't different in the sense where doctrinally it was different. It was a sound church. But she said, yeah, it's not really kind of our kind of a church. And Shelley said, listen, and there's a lot more to this conversation, but she said, just be glad that they're going to church. You know, it was a gospel preaching church. It's different than, and the woman said, well, yeah, that's true. That's true. So, anyhow, there's different traditions. Listen, we just went from pews to chairs. That could be church splits over going from church from pews to chairs. It's just what you're sitting in. Okay, I would have went to chairs 20 years ago. But none of you wanted any chairs then. We all wanted pews, and we got those nice pews. But now, I like the chairs. I'm sorry, I just like them better than the pews. All right. It's a 20-year vision that finally came to pass. Anyhow, I think I've given you, you understand what I'm saying? These little things can kind of creep in to our thinking, and if we're not careful, it can become very divisive. And so that's really kind of the first point on the handout. There's only two points here. It's the heart of tradition. So Jesus challenges them about this. You're not honoring, you're breaking, Jesus says, you're breaking the fifth commandment by your traditions. And then in verse 7, he says, he calls them out on it. You're hypocrites. You are hypocrites. And he quotes out of the book of Isaiah. This verse, Isaiah 29:13, if that's what verse 8 is in the text. Isaiah, so hypocrisy has, there's always been hypocrisy. So Isaiah, he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, which was written 600 years approximately before the event that we're reading about in the Bible here. And Isaiah says this, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips." In other words, everything is external. "But their heart is far from me." What's going on inside? What is going on inside? Look on your handout, Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Paul said this, "Ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion." So in other words, Paul is saying, I was one of those dealing with the washing of the hands and all of the traditions and everything that I was taught to do out of the Mishnah. "And how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." I was one of those. And you know what? As Jesus is teaching this lesson in Matthew to these scribes and Pharisees, I truly believe that some of these scribes and Pharisees genuinely believed that they believed that the washing of their hands and the cups and all these traditions, they sincerely believed that this was the right thing to do. Just as, I guess these guys that were in Belarus, they sincerely probably believed that wearing a white shirt and a tie was the right thing to do. But they were sincerely wrong. And Ethan said something, I can't exactly what he said. He said something to me about 3 weeks ago, which really kind of spoke to this. We were just talking about honoring the Lord and doing things right. But he said basically something along the lines, but I don't want to do something just because this is the way that it's always been done. And then you stand before the Lord and the Lord says, yeah, that's the way that everybody did it. Or not everybody, but that's the way that people did it. But that necessarily is not right. Does that make sense? I don't even know if that makes sense. You know, we can kind of get, this is the way that it's always been. This is the way that it's going to be because this is the way that it should be. But is it the way that Jesus wants it to be? That's the key. Is it the way that Jesus wants it to be? And Jesus is trying to get this point across here. Paul understood this. He was zealous of the traditions. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Bible said. Or look at Galatians 2 on your handout, 11 through 13, and then verse 16. And I've kind of chopped this up a little bit, so it's not the entire, I couldn't fit it all on here, but you'll get the point. "So when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Now let me just stop here. This is happening 30 years after Jesus had died, was buried, crucified, or arisen, and ascended into heaven. This is 30 years later. And this is Paul in the regions of Galatia, one of the cities in Galatia, or Antioch. And Peter comes, and they meet there, and Paul has to confront Peter with this. He said, "For before that certain came from James," so he's indicated these were Jews, "he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come," meaning the Jews, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." So you understand what Paul is confronting here? Peter, when he's with the Gentiles, he's acting like a Gentile, and he's not all wrapped up in all the old traditions. And when the Jews come, he kind of gets nervous, and he kind of reverts back. And Paul, he uses this word that I have highlighted there. He says, this is dissimulation. And that's a word we don't often use. Anybody know what that word means, dissimulation? You know what he's saying? Paul is saying to Peter, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Now we think of, and rightly so, we honor the apostles, but here's Peter, and here's Paul. And Paul looks at him and says, you're nothing but a hypocrite, what you're doing. That's pretty strong language. And Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So Jesus deals with the Pharisees here, and he says, listen, you're being disobedient to God. You're giving my disciples a hard time about not washing their hands. Look, you're breaking the fifth commandment here. You're hypocritical, verse 7 and verse 8 of the text. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And there are whole segments of what I'll just say are quote unquote sects, if you will, that calls it Christianity, but they're not Bible based, they're traditions based. So some things just haven't changed. And you know what? Here's something important to remember. Whenever we stop following the Word of God, we lose the power of God's Word in our life. Just lose the power of God's Word. So we move on, and the second point, the heart of truth. So we have the heart of tradition. People have that, sometimes genuinely. I think the Pharisees, many of them, because it kept control and power. But then there's the heart of truth. So verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And then the disciples, they're kind of worked up in verse 12. The disciples come and says, do you know that the Pharisees, they were offended when they heard this? They're pretty upset with you. I always think when these kinds of statements are made, like if Jesus says, oh, really? I better do something about this. Basically, you know what Jesus tells them in the next couple of verses? Forget about it. Forget about it. Look what he says. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, it'll be rooted up. You know, a plant that doesn't have a root, it grows for a little while and then it just dies. It'll be taken care of, Jesus says. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus is saying, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. You just do the right thing. Well, they still don't understand. They're still kind of questioning. And verse 15, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Peter is still a little bit unclear, because remember now, listen, much of what Jesus is teaching them, it's radical for them. I mean, Jesus is really dealing with some of Jewish tradition that had been around for centuries. And he's saying, this isn't what I'm all about. And Peter needs clarification here. And he's going to give him that clarification. Peter's also probably wondering about all the dietary laws. And because Jesus, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out. And much of the Old Testament law, there were dietary laws, and there were things that they were not supposed to eat. And that's a whole other lesson for a whole other time. And I really think the book of Acts takes care of all of that. But again, another lesson for another time. But Jesus gives this explanation. Are ye, verse 16, without understanding? And I think this is probably just a very mild, I don't even know if it's a rebuke. It's Jesus saying, you still don't get it. Do you not understand that whatsoever enters into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? So when you and I eat something, our bodies are made, they were created to remove from whatever we eat the nutritional value of it, and then what's not nutritional, well, I think you figure out what, you know, what, you get rid of it. All right? There are some things you could probably eat that have no nutritional value, like a Twinkie, but it's good for the soul. So Jesus is saying, yeah. So I think, then he says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, they really tell you what the heart's about. And you might say, well, wait a minute, you know, if you're a glutton, then that's a sin. That's true. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Gluttony. He's trying to give a parable, an earthly example of a heavenly or spiritual truth. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. They give an indication. And so if you'll notice here, we have the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and the third commandment that are listed here. He says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, it defileth not a man. So it's a matter of the heart. All of this, all of these other things that you guys are giving my disciples a hard time about, these are all external things. But I'm dealing with the internal. In fact, when we did a series a couple years ago on the Beatitudes, you know, Jesus upped the ante when he said, if you're thinking about adultery, then you've, because that's the heart, that's the mind, that's the thinking. So that's a sin. So Jesus, he exposes here to the Pharisees and to the scribes the hypocrisy where you've changed the word of God and you just made it traditional, your own traditions. Elsewhere, he would say you heap heavy burdens upon people. Oh, go back to chapter 12. This isn't the first time that he's dealing with this. Chapter 12, and look at verse 36. Actually, start back at verse 35. I'll start back in verse 34. Oh, generation of vipers. Wow, that's pretty strong. You vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Why? Because words indicate what's going on inside, what we're saying, our attitude. And Jesus gets this point across to the, he was trying to get this point across to the Pharisees. It's a matter of the heart. That's why we need a new heart. Amen? That's what happens when we receive Christ as our Savior. We have a new heart. We have His heart. And praise the Lord for that. I'm not going to turn to all these because we're out of time, but I wrote these down. You can look them up. But here's just some examples on the bottom of your handout as we finish. So we believe from the heart, Romans chapter 10. We love from the heart, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. We sing from the heart, there in the book of Galatians, singing with grace in your heart, the Bible says. We obey from the heart. We obey the will of God, Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, from the heart. We give from the heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. We give with a joyful heart. So the heart, we talked about this too. If you were at our men's meeting 2 weeks ago at Frank's house, we dealt, Pastor Ethan brought the lesson that night. We dealt with the heart and changed heart. But if Paul would write Corinthians and say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. We have a changed heart. We're born again into the family of God. We have a heart change. And praise the Lord for that, because, you know, verse I quote often out of the book of Jeremiah. I mean, it's often quoted, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Many of you probably know it. If you know it, say it with me, and when will we be done? The heart is what? Not desperate, is deceitful above all things, and it is what? Then you got the word, desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. That's why we need Jesus. And all of the traditions, all of trying to turn over a new leaf, and that doesn't change the heart. Religion doesn't change the heart. You all know that. I'm just telling you what you know. A relationship with Jesus is what changes the heart. And that's our lesson for today. Last of the parables. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we ask and pray that you'd bless our morning worship service. Be with Pastor Ethan as he preaches. Help us as we lift up our voices and worship you in song. All that we do, Lord, let it bring honor. Let it bring glory to you. And Lord, help us always be a people who are more concerned about what the Word of God says, not about so many of the other things that can distract us. In Jesus' name, amen.